Business and economics time on RN Drive. And in Europe, the latest austerity pains are emanating from Spain. I've got a feeling I've said a sentence like that very, very regularly this year. But this time, thousands of university students have protested austerity cuts to services and education. A quarter of the country's unemployed. The economy continues to contract. The government's weighing whether to seek a bailout from the EU. My only assessment, it's a pretty monstrous situation to be in. But our next guest believes that it's a monster that's been created by Europe itself, and it's been a gross error, which raises the question, of course, what you do about it. His name is Professor Yanis Varoufakis. He's from the University of Athens, and I think he's sought refuge in the United States because he's now at the University of Texas as well. He's our economics guest today, and he's been speaking about the quandary of the Eurozone at the CPA Congress in Sydney. He joins us now. Yanis, yasol?
Yasos. It's a great pleasure to be on your program.
Well, it's wonderful to have you aboard. Now, you've given a speech today at this Congress where you've said that all the recession we had to have talk that was in the 90s was probably correct, but that this recession in Europe is just destroying the continent and the world and is in no way redemptive. Why is that?
Because it is turning into a depression. During a recession, there is a weeding out of the inefficient and a bolstering of the efficient. You can say that it's like a Darwinian process that selects for success. But in a depression, all boats sink simultaneously, and there is no redemptive process in operation. It's exactly what happened in the 1930s, after the 1929 collapse, and now after the 2008 great financial crisis, we're having a similar process in motion, which is unnecessary and should be stopped on its tracks.
Wow. Okay. So you're painting a kind of scorched earth scenario. Is that really true?
Well, let's say that there's a high probability of this scenario coming true. Already we can see that the world economy is finding it impossible to regain its poise after the GFC. You have the United States of America hanging on for dear life, using the only lever that is left to Ben Bernanke, the chairman of the Fed, which is quantitative easing, easy money effectively.
Printing money, basically.
More or less, not precisely, but more or less. You have the United Kingdom in recession, you have the whole of Europe in a quagmire, with part of it being in a 1930s like a depression at the moment, and the other part teetering on the edge. You have China, which is doing a splendid job maintaining its growth rate above the level that it's necessary in order to keep its social economy from imploding, but nevertheless it's running out of steam. And the great question is, what is Europe's steady process towards disintegration going to do to this very precarious state of global affairs?
Okay, I have to pause you on that phrase. Steady process towards integration, I think it was. You just
disintegration.
Disintegration,
I wish it was integration.
Right, you're saying disintegration. So you're saying it's inevitable that the Eurozone is going to fall apart.
Nothing is inevitable when it comes to political economics. We are perfectly capable as humans and as organized civilized societies to arrest such a downward spiral. But we have to act. We just can't expect that it will fix itself. The way we're moving, however, now in Europe, is indeed in the direction of disintegration. Let me just give you a very simple example. A euro in a Greek bank account is worth less than a euro in an Italian bank account, which is worth less than in a Parisian bank account, which is worth less than in a German bank account. Now, that is a sure sign of disintegration.
Why is that?
Well, the reason is that the default probability of the Greek banks and state is greater than that of Italy, and that brings along with it all sorts of discussions about the possibility that Greece will be thrown out, which creates a domino effect of beliefs about the probability that Ireland will be thrown out or Portugal, which then brings Spain into the equation. And these potential withdrawals from the European common currency will mean devaluations of the euros. The euros will be denominated in local currencies. So that's why a euro in a Greek bank account is worth less elsewhere.
But how does that show up now? I mean, because if you take that euro out, it's a euro. It's exactly the same value.
It is, but you have to move it physically. Physically, you have to move it to a German bank account in order to increase its net present value, as we say in economics.
Okay, but how is a euro in a Greek bank account treated differently or valued differently?
Well, it's we're talking about expectations here.
Right.
So the very real probability that tomorrow morning there will be an announcement that all euros in a Greek bank account cease to be euros and become drachmas, whose value is halved, means that the euro that you have today in a Greek bank account is, you know, has an expected value which is lower than what it would have if it had been safely stored in a German bank account.
That's the voice of Professor Yiannis Varoufakis from the University of Athens and the University of Texas, our correspondent for our look at business and economics this week on RN Drive. Yiannis, you say that all this was a colossal mistake from the beginning, and it was a mistake of Europe's own making. There was no need for this European Union really to be brought into existence as a monetary union. Why is that?
No, this is not exactly what I'm saying. I don't have any qualms about the notion of a currency union. Australia is a currency union. You have disparate economies here. The economy of Tasmania bears no resemblance effectively with the economy of Western Australia. And yet you have a very successful currency union.
Well, the US dollar, the British pound.
Exactly. Every currency union is a union of disparate economies. What is the relationship between North Yorkshire and Sussex, for instance, in Britain?
The Olympic Games, really. I think, is the only.
Indeed. Well, we had the Olympic Games in Greece too, and quite a good success they were. But the point I'm making is that if you're going to create a currency union, you might as well create at the same time the institutional framework that will act as shock absorbers when a shock like that of 2008 hits. We hadn't done that in Europe. We bound our disparate economies together monetarily without having the shock absorbers that would absorb a shock like that of 2008.
Are those shock absorbers political integration? Is that what you're talking about?
Not necessarily. A political integration would help us create the economic institutions that would do the job. But no, let me give you just two examples of what we needed to have, which we didn't create. Firstly, we would need to create a banking union. That is, imagine if in 2008, or indeed in 1991 in Australia, the Tasmanian banks had to be bailed out by the Tasmanian state if they got into trouble following the recession. And the Tasmanian state had to borrow in the international markets without having access to the Reserve Bank of Australia. What would happen is both the state of Tasmania and the Tasmanian banks would sink without a trace, would go, you know, go bankrupt. This is what the institutional framework in Europe. So we need to have a banking union, that is to have a single banking sector throughout the Eurozone. We never created that. The second thing we need is a degree of common debt, which acts as a buffer, preventing a domino effect of states falling one after the other once one of them becomes insolvent.
Sounds to me, though, that the shortest and best path to that is political integration. I mean, if you look at the monetary unions that you've mentioned that are all national, this is why they work, because they're bound together so tightly by a national political structure that there's a shared destiny and then there's a shared identity, and so there's sort of a shared fate about all this and a need to keep things afloat and together working harmoniously. You don't have that in Europe. You don't even have fiscal integration. So are you suggesting that the path is to increase integration, that that's really the only choice here?
Your diagnosis is precisely right. We didn't have this political integration, and the result is plain for all to see now. But the moment we tried to create a currency union without a political union, without even being able to agree on what to put on our euro notes, because I don't know whether you've ever held any euro notes in your hands, you'll see that there are some abstract bridges and gates that don't exist anywhere simply because the Germans and the French and the Italians couldn't agree on which ones to put on.
I've noticed that, yeah.
But we did go through with the currency union. We should have created the economic institutions like banking union and a degree of common debt like federal debt or eurozone debt or eurobonds. We didn't do that. Now, the question is, how do we get out of this tight spot? To argue that we need politically to integrate, to create a federation, in other words, as a means of fighting this crisis, is effectively to admit that we have failed and that we'll all go under. Because let's face it, federation is a long-term project. It cannot be a stopgap policy for dealing with a crisis which is running amok and is running very quickly. Whatever, if we move in the federal direction, those moves which require constitutional moves, cultural agreements, and so on and so forth, decisions on what to put on our euro notes, but that's just a silly example.
But it's actually a very serious example, because you're talking about is a shared sense of identity.
Exactly.
And that's all what's not there.
Indeed. We will not be able to forge such a shared identity and political union in time to avert the disintegration of the Eurozone. And if the Eurozone disintegrates before we forge our federation, which it certainly will, there will be nothing left to federate after the disintegration of the Eurozone.
Look, Yanis, I greatly admire your capacity to admire the problem. Is there a solution, though?
Yes, there is. We could solve this crisis without federation, rationally, without Ponzi austerity, which is what I call the current policy mix, within a few weeks. What we need to do is effectively agree on a simple pronouncement. Firstly, that within a year, the banking sectors of Europe will be unified and the banks will be recapitalized directly from the Eurozone, not through the member states' budgets, but directly. A very simple announcement. And also that the center of Europe, the ECB, doesn't matter who, will look at each bank's books properly, not do those silly stress tests of the past few years, and wind down the ones that are not viable. The second thing we need to do is we need to deploy the European Central Bank as a go-between the member states that are fiscally stricken and the international money markets. Effectively, the ECB should borrow on their behalf and help them alleviate their fiscal crisis on condition that the member states on whose behalf the ECB borrows money internationally by issuing euro bonds, ECB bonds, will have to repay in the fullness of time, but at a very low interest rate, those loans to the ECB. And the third thing we need is a new deal. We need an investment policy throughout Europe. And you know what? We have the European Investment Bank, which is ready and willing to do this. We are just not letting it because we have a silly rule in Europe which says that the European Investment Bank, which, by the way, is three times the size of the World Bank, can only proceed with a project if it's co-financed to the tune of 50% by the member state. Now, member states are insolvent, so they can't do it.
So basically, you're talking about a more full integration that's not quite total political integration, but it's sort of taking some steps on the way there. Look, it's an enthralling, thrilling prescription, actually, that you've laid out for us, Yanis. It's been really good fun having the chance to talk to you. I hope you've enjoyed your time in Australia. I know you used to live here and you deserted us for browner pastures, I think we can say. But I appreciate your time. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Professor Yanis Varoufakis, economist with the University of Athens and the University of Texas. He's been in Australia speaking at the CPA Congress in Sydney and speaking to me right there on RN Drive.